Joining me today is Leslie Zbracco, wine author, TV host, lead judge on The Winemakers, founder of Thirsty Girls. You have quite a few titles, Leslie. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Tania. Yeah, I'm a bit exhausted all the time.
Well, wine is obviously a passion of yours. Tell me a little bit about what we can expect at the Boston Wine Expo that you will be a part of this weekend.
Well, I have to tell you, the Boston Wine Expo that I'm lucky enough to get to attend and or speak at and participate in, I think what I love about the Boston Wine Expo is the energy. People are really there. Now, mind you, it's busy and packed and, you know, thousands of people attend, but the energy is so great because people are there to taste, to learn, to have fun. So you really will get a chance, if you attend, to, you know, explore wines from the Rhone Valley of France, if you want, or from Portugal, or from Spain, so it will take you on a virtual trip around the wine world, really without getting on an airplane.
Well, that's true. I remember last year at the Expo, I was just overwhelmed. There was so much to explore that I felt like there wasn't enough time.
That's it. See, you need a two-day ticket.
It's really true.
And there are so many terrific seminars, I say modestly, of course, one of which I'm giving, but there are, if you want to get further in depth on some of the wine regions or some of the producers, there's a roster of terrific seminars to attend as well.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the wine seminar that you're doing, because I'm really looking forward to possibly attending that. Now, you're going to be doing a blind tasting, is that right?
Correct. The seminar session is from 3 to 4 on Saturday, and it's called How to Taste Like a Pro. And you get, I was supposed to pour 10 wines, but I can never stop myself, so I think there'll be 14 wines to taste in an hour. I also teach you how to spit, so don't worry. That's a key thing to know when you go to the Boston Wine Expo, is how to spit out the wine.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Really what I'm trying to teach people in this seminar, and it's fun and entertaining and you walk away laughing and learning, is how to approach a wine without knowing what it is and what you're looking for to find characteristics in the wine that you like or you don't like. You know, there's no right answer, I always say, to wine. There's no wrong answer, no right answer, and it's really about what you like. So I've always considered myself a guide to help people figure out what they like and what they don't like, and it's not the same thing for any two people. So I really talk about looking at, you know, when you pick up the wine, sort of the see, swirl, smell, and sip, the steps that wine professionals do to analyzing wine. And the whole seminar is not to turn people into a wine professional, though I do taste about 4,000 wines a year.
So. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I have volunteers for assistance, quite a few, you know.
Absolutely.
but, you know, it's how to really look for those characteristics that you like. Then we move through some wines and talk about why this one is sweet or why this one is dry or, you know, what its oak character mean on a wine or lots of fruit. And I talk a lot about food pairing. And so you really walk away from my session not only having fun, but being able to pinpoint a few of those key things that might help you describe wines a little bit better and narrow in on what you like to buy at the store.
Well, you know, I'm a big wine person and food person, and it would be interesting to also learn what makes people realize when a bottle of wine is bad. So when you go to a restaurant and they bring you the bottle and you take that first sniff, what is it that we need to think about?
Well, there are a few things that make a wine, you know, and I use quote-unquote bad. It's certainly a wine can be qualified as bad if you don't like it, right?
Well, of course,
but there are wines that are flawed, and the most common flaw that you'll find in a bottle of wine is something that we call corked. Not that it has a cork in it, because cork certainly, you know, can be a terrific closure for wine, but I will talk about closures. We can certainly talk about closures. Is that the cork itself has been affected, and in some cases the wine itself, because you can get this in the winery, by something called TCA, trichloroanisole. And TCA just makes, it won't hurt you, but it makes the wine smell kind of moldy.
Yeah.
You know, and it smells a little bit like, you know, think of wet cardboard or something. So corked wines are thankfully becoming a little less prevalent. But if you smell something that's off, it can be, number one, because it's a corked bottle. Number two, it can be affected by something that makes it smell sort of vinegary. Yeah, it can be affected by oxidation, which makes it smell sort of like sherry. And I'm a sherry lover, and I'll tell you, unless it's sherry, it shouldn't smell like sherry. So, you know, there are a number of flaws and I do talk about those. I actually always hope when we're uncorking the wine and tasting through it before the seminar that we find a cork bottle so that I can pass it around.
Yeah.
And have people smell it. But generally, you know, boy, these days wine flaws are becoming, certainly as I mentioned before, less prevalent simply because we're so, you know, technologically advanced when it comes to making wine.
Is there a preference between screw caps and corked bottles?
We're talking about what type of wine, too. I'm a big screw cap fan only because I, you know, love if I've got 20 bottles in front of me that I have to open and taste. I look at them and I go, yay, screw caps. I don't have to use a corkscrew.
Exactly. It's easy.
You know, it maintains the freshness of the wine and the fruitiness of the wine, so certainly anything for immediate consumption. I think fresh aromatic white wines should be in screw caps and, you know, easy drinking reds. Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of debate in the wine world about how wines age under a screw cap closure and versus a cork. So, I mean, I think, you know, there's lots of debate going forward. But again, and the beautiful thing about living in the time we are now with wine is that you're going to see lots of different things. So, yes, don't ever be afraid of screw caps. I always tease in my sessions that it's hip to be screwed, so I make everybody say it. And so don't be afraid if you see a bottle. You'll see $100 bottles under a screw cap because the winemaker doesn't want the chance, possibly, that the wine will be corked. My key with any sort of packaging, and that goes for, like, some of the new boxes that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can get wine in boxes, and there's some, you know, quality wines in boxes coming in. Tip there is look for the smaller boxes. People tend to put their higher quality wines in something like a 3-liter box as opposed to a bigger 5-liter box. There's new little Tetra Paks. You know, you can get smaller 1-liter boxes, Tetra Paks, like look like juice boxes for adults. You know, if I have one word to describe a wine that I think is great, it would be balance.
Oh.
You know, it can be a light, elegant, delicate Riesling from the Mosel region of Germany, or it can be a big, huge Mambo, you know, bear hug of a Shiraz from Australia's Barossa. But it needs to be in balance. And so I think that's what I'm always looking for and in my sessions striving to teach people about is, you know, is this wine in balance? Is this wine sing on your palate when you drink it?
You know, that's what I really like about going to wine tastings because I feel like it's such an education. You know, I love learning and tasting and just experiencing it because there are so many different kinds out there.
Well, and that's it. There is no replacement. People say, oh my God, Leslie, how did you learn so much about wine? And I said, you know what? By tasting it.
Exactly.
Number one, by tasting it. By finding wines I don't like and then trying to figure out why I didn't like them. Were they too oaky? Were they too tannic? Were they, you know, putting some words to things.
Yeah.
By visiting wine regions, the opportunity that a tasting like the Boston Wine Expo affords people is the worldwide tour of wine and is the chance for you to taste and spit and do the occasional swallow and taste and spit. So that you can move through. And I also want to mention that you can come by to our Thirsty Girl Pavilion and come taste some wines with me and with our team, too.
And that was my next question. I want to know more about the Thirsty Girls.
Well, it's and I know that you are a Thirsty Girl.
Yes, I am. I sure am.
Well, make sure you get a shirt when you come over.
Oh, good. That's great.
Although on the back, I do have to say, they do say I don't spit, so you have to be careful because in the Boston Expo, you do have to spit. after 5, you don't have to spit.
Okay.
The organization itself came about last year as I was writing and working on my third book. My first book is called Wine for Women. My second was The Simple and Savvy Wine Guide when I first met you.
Yes.
A few years back. Which was a wine guide that, you know, showcased wine by mood, by food, by season, by reason. So I did things like bathtub wines there and the experiential piece of wine, which is really what it's all about. Funny things happen when you eat and drink for a living. So I have a compilation of really hilarious stories, actually, that happened to me while I'm on that journey. And so I started to compile them into a book and titled it Adventures of a Thirsty Girl, which will actually be out next year. So it really is about sharing a passion with people for food, wine, libations, and travel. And our tagline is life, drink it up. So it's really about doing what you love and having fun in life doing it.
I don't want to take up any more of your time, Leslie. I know you're a busy lady.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to seeing you and everybody at the expo.
Do you have a website?
Oh, for Thirsty Girl, it's thirstygirl.com.
We're talking with Leslie Zbracco, and founder of Thirsty Girls and lead judge on The Winemakers. We haven't even got to talk about all that. We could talk for hours.
Well, you can watch me on the Today Show doing some He Said, She Said with my friend Ray Isle of Food & Wine, who's also speaking.
All right.
On the Today Show with Kathy Lee and Hoda. We're going to pit them against each other to find Valentine's Day picks on February 11th.
Oh, great.
Tune into the Today Show then.
That's great, Leslie. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, and we'll see you soon.